Good day and welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm Stacey Calder, founder of the Business Success Network and magazine, and we help you to grow you and grow your business. We want to get you as visible as possible online, offline, and through events such as networking, awards, and conferences. If you're sitting here and listening to this and thinking this is a great show, we are looking for guests to be part of it. We want to hear your story and we want to share your information with the public. We want you to be as visible as possible. So join us over at the Business Success Network UK on Facebook, join the community, get the support, become a cheerleader for other small businesses, and we'll see you very soon.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Business Success Network for Disabled Entrepreneurs mini-series. I'm Jo O'Neill. Stacey is once again not with us today. Hopefully she'll be back with us for the last one, so you just get me and my lovely guest. As I said, I'm Jo O'Neill. I run Brightcat Business Solutions, which is a marketing virtual assistant and social media company. I'm also the group leader of the Business Success for Disabled Entrepreneurs community group. I would love you all to come join us if you fit into that category. I'll give you details on that in a little bit. So today my guest is Tracy Jones. Tracy, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us about your business?
I would love to, Jo. Thank you very much. So as you very kindly said, my name's Tracy Jones. Hi, everybody. I am the founder of a coaching and development business called Lotus Bridge Coaching and Development. So I use over 20 years of L&D expertise and my personal lived experience to create a business that really has two streams to it. So from a development perspective, I support SMEs and startups with their people skills training and their wellbeing strategies. I kind of act as the extension to their own people departments and design and deliver bespoke interventions for them. From a coaching perspective, which is the other stream, I partner women in business primarily who are navigating personal challenges. They're at some kind of stage in their life where they're trying to manage their career alongside some other kind of challenge. So they're either going through a fertility journey or maybe managing a chronic illness or just dealing with overwhelm and life itself. And maybe they're struggling to find their way and be truly well and happy. I spent over a decade myself working in a senior management career whilst juggling a really difficult, stressful infertility journey. And once I had my children, I was then diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which comes with its own daily challenges. So for me, my real passion is not wanting to see anybody else struggle or to be on that path to burnout, which I went through. So that's why I'm here, really.
Fabulous. And of course, with being women as well, we always also take on everybody's emotional load as well. So that just adds to everything.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we tend to overplan things, but that's just because we have to. Right. How did you decide to work for yourself and do it for yourself?
Okay. So I've been working for the best part of 3 decades, which makes me feel incredibly old. And it was during the pandemic I was made redundant. It happened to so many people across the world, let alone the country. But I think particularly because at the time I was the learning and development manager for a logistics business, we actually got bought out during the pandemic, and the company who bought us decided they didn't need any support services in-house anymore. They wanted to do it themselves. And yeah, I went through a real period of grief and bereavement and feeling sorry for myself, and trying to find another training career at that point was almost impossible. There just weren't any openings available. And I'm very lucky. I've got a super supportive husband who said, look, you've got 25 years of expertise behind you. Be brave, try something on your own. And within L&D, the good thing, I guess, is that there aren't any major setup costs for me. It was something I could do relatively easy without a great deal of money behind me. So, yeah, I kind of took the easy option initially. I was offered a contract with the Department for Work and Pensions to work as a job coach. I did that for about a year or so, really easy, working from home, just on my phone, supporting people, ironically, who'd been made redundant because of the pandemic, and helping them get back into the workplace and rebuild their confidence.
At least you have the empathy there, though.
Well, absolutely. I knew where I was coming from, and hopefully some of where they were coming from as well. And I think actually, although it felt like an easy route, it was also a really gentle step into being freelance and working for myself. I work my own hours, in my own time. I worked it around my three children. My husband works away 50% of the time, so I'm solo parenting quite a lot. So there was a lot to juggle, and I quickly realised actually that being my own boss was working really well for me. So it was almost 3 years ago, I then took the big jump and launched Lotus Bridge. And yeah, here we are today, not looking back.
Fantastic. Most people don't look back. Even when it's hard, it's like, I'd still rather do what I'm doing than being a job that won't accommodate me.
Probably every 3 months or so, I have that little wobble and have a bit of a look on Indeed and think, do you know what, maybe it's easier if someone else pays me and gives me my work and gives me paid holidays and sick leave and all of those things we take for granted. But actually,
you ought to do and dictating your hours, and that's the bit that doesn't work.
Exactly that.
Fabulous. So this is the next question is one we ask to everybody who comes onto the Business Success podcast. What does business success look like to you?
I thought about this a lot, Jo, and it's a really tricky one because I think it's super personal. I think my idea of business success is not necessarily unique, but very personal to me, in the sense that 20 years ago, before I got poorly and went through the challenges I did, business success would have meant having a really healthy bank balance, having plenty of money to do all the things that I wanted to do, having a relatively easy life. But of course, curveballs come into life and enable you to think differently and find different priorities and perspectives. And I think for me today, business success means getting to the end of the day and knowing that I've been authentic over the course of that day, that I've done the things that I'm truly passionate about and that I care about, that I've been able to spread my message and tell my story in the hope that it gives hope and joy to other people to know that there's another way. As I said, I'm really passionate about supporting other women that are finding those obstacles in life, and they may be feeling stuck and they're not sure how to get over those. So it's working with other people in a way that works for them to ultimately find the answers for themselves. I'm really just a partner. I'm a crutch. I'm just someone who asks the right questions at the right time to get to people to where they want to be. I said to someone the other day, I know I'm doing my best job and succeeding when work doesn't feel like work, when it's just something I really want to do. And I get to the evening and I feel content and comfortable and happy that I've really achieved something for somebody else, but it hasn't been at cost to my own energy or my own health.
Yeah, and that's important, is being able to look after your own health. A lot of the people we've spoken to have said, like, so long as the bills are paid, and they're not stressing about that, the monetary secondary, it's they're doing what they love and what they can do around their disabilities, which I think is amazing. And I'd agree with it, really. So long as the bills are paid and I'm not stressing about money, I love what I do and all the now various different bits of it. It truly is a passion project. So it's like, so at that point, it doesn't feel like work. You can go that little bit further until your body tells you to stop anyway.
Exactly. And hopefully you know what that is, which I've had to learn.
we all have to learn it, and it's a hard lesson to learn. I've definitely pushed past it too many times, and it changes throughout our journey as well. So you have to keep relearning it, which can be frustrating. But every day is a learning day.
Absolutely.
Hey, this is Chris from the Amethyst Centre. We're on Ball Hill in Coventry, and we are a complementary therapy and training centre. We have 4 rooms available for complementary therapists of any persuasion to hire, and we also have an upstairs training room We offer training in complementary therapies, things like Reiki, aromatherapy, reflexology, massage, that sort of thing. And also in coming up, we have training in beauty therapy, eyes, facials, lashes, spray tanning, all that sort of stuff. If you're interested in complementary therapies, then give us a call on 024 7644 0186 or hello@amethystcentre.com. Thank you very much, and we're happy to sponsor this podcast. Bye.
Welcome to Rise for Disability, the place where innovation meets inclusion, and you're invited. Health professionals, innovators, and the disability community unite. With over 8,000 delegates and over 300 stands across four events in the UK. From the latest tech and accessibility, sports that have no limits, and conversations that spark change, we are the place to be. In Sunderland on the 4th of July, Kent on the 10th of September, Milton Keynes on the 22nd of October, and Glasgow wraps up on the 5th of November. And it's absolutely free to attend. Grab your spot now by going to our website at risefordisability.com. And companies looking to be part of the movement, connect with us today to showcase your brand and solutions to a captivated audience. From north to south, where will we be seeing you?
You've gotten to the point you are with your business. What are your future plans?
Okay, so the first 3 years of having my business, I'll be honest, the first 2 years maybe didn't turn out exactly as I planned. So I realised quite quickly there were a lot of much bigger, more established training businesses out there who were doing some really great stuff and were needing some additional help. So without kind of meaning to, I got myself on this hamster wheel of working freelance as a contractor to lots of other much bigger businesses. And it was easy because they were bringing in the clients. I was then just delivering and designing their training. I was coaching their candidates and clients. And I was earning some really good money, but I actually got quite poorly because I was taking on so much. The bank balance looked brilliant, but my personal balance was really poor. And I actually had my only quite major relapse since I'd been diagnosed, and it took me out of work for way longer than I would have liked. So last year was really kind of getting back to grips with, why am I supporting other people's businesses when I need to actually be supporting my own? And that was a really long journey last year. I had to spend a lot of time soul searching and reflecting on why I'd allowed myself to go down that road without meaning to. And it was really only the back end of last year I got myself to a place where I rebuilt that confidence in what I'd started my business for. I've niched the business. So the first couple of years, a lot of business mentors had said to me, you need to generalize. You need to offer your coaching and training services to everybody, because if you throw enough mud, something's going to stick somewhere.
Most of them say niche.
Well, you know what, Joe? I've got some brilliant people in my network, and there was lots of contradictory advice. One day someone would say generalize, the next day niche. And I've gone back and forth, and it's made life really quite confusing for someone who hasn't had a business before. And it was only really back end of last year, I just woke up one day and I had this light bulb moment of, do you know what? I'm nearly 50 years old. It's time I made the decision that I run my business in my way, doing what I'm really good at, but also what I really love. So I don't need to train in absolutely everything. I don't need to coach absolutely everybody. I need to be brave enough to say, I want to be a bigger fish in a smaller pond. And the way to do that is to take my lived experience and combine that with my expertise as a professional. And that took me a really long time. It's great to look back and say, shoulda, woulda, coulda. I wish I'd just been braver earlier, but I hadn't. And I am where I am. And I think that journey's actually really supported me to have the courage that I've got now. So I almost feel like I'm going through a process of relaunching the business now, because my niche towards working women who are going through those challenges is quite new. So for me, where I am now, it's about almost restarting and getting the word out there of who I am, what I do, and why I'm good at it.
Yeah. Which, you know, marketing scares people. So I can imagine that's always a big task.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's not me. So, you know, I've spent a lot of my life working in psychometric profiling, particularly around behaviours, personality traits, motivational systems, all of that kind of stuff. And I've had to actually remind myself that I need to apply this stuff to me. And marketing isn't my bag. Advertising is not my thing. I take things very personally. If a client says no, or I go for a bid and I don't get it, there's a real process I still have to go through, even at the age I am. So I've kind of realized that there are some necessary evils to running a business that I just have to make work for me in the best way that I can. And I'd made a note that top tips for the future and things that I think are important is to accept you can't be everything to everybody all of the time.
Absolutely.
So really, the big thing I'm taking forward that I've started actioning recently is I'm not particularly technical. I'm not great naturally at social media. So I've recruited someone in to support me, and I don't have huge amounts of funds to give her everything I would like to give her, but she's going back to basics with me and getting to a place where just getting my name out there in whatever way I can is a really good start, but accepting it's going to be a slow burn takes time.
I mean, I do advise clients when they're saying, but I haven't got a huge like budget for marketing and social media, is start with one thing. Start small, get your name out, because that's something you're not working on. So you can work on like generate things that generate your money, seeing clients, doing whatever you do, and then you grow it with the business. It's like you don't have to have all singing, all dancing marketing package to start with, because doing something's better than doing nothing. And many people will get overwhelmed and just do nothing.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy to procrastinate when there's too much to do.
It is. I mean, I do as well. I have to have a very broken down to-do list so I can see it in small chunks, or I'll just look at it and go, no, it's too big. I imagine most people are the same. So, speaking of top tips, what are yours in either life, business, anything really? It says one, but you can give me more if you need to or want to.
I've never just got one of anything, Jo.
That's what I like to hear.
I'll be learning quite quickly. If you can say something in 10 words, I'll find 100 to say the same thing.
I'll see, I'm the opposite. If I could say something in 10, I used to do it in 4.
Being opposite is a good thing. So I guess the first tip is the one I've just mentioned. If you can't do something, find somebody else who can. If you don't have the money to be able to pay them for that service, then do some kind of skill swap with them. There's always something you can give them that they can't do. So work collaboratively, find those opportunities to share and support one another. Because I think the biggest learning for me in starting my own business is that I'm a real sociable animal. And when I first started Lotus Bridge in COVID, I realized I was getting very isolated and lonely very quickly, and it was making me quite low and quite down. My husband's away a lot. My kids are obviously at school during the day. And I was getting to a place where I felt I had nobody else to talk to. And that's what really pushed me into joining networking groups and building my own business network of like-minded people who wanted to cheerlead me as much as I wanted to cheerlead them. And that's taken a long time to really build those relationships, but it's now put me in a place where I am swapping skills with other people, and likewise I'm learning things from them, and it's not having to cost me anything. So that's a really big thing. I think doing what makes you happy is really important. But first of all, you've got to understand what makes you happy in the first place, what fills your cup, what gives you joy, what makes you feel fulfilled and satisfied. Because when we're running a business, we've got to have all of those things. Or where does the motivation come from to keep going and keep building, particularly when life gets really tough? And then I guess the last one, because it's really important to my business, is around prioritizing self-care. I know it sounds a little bit obvious and a little bit cheesy, but it's easy when you run a business to put yourself last. And we talked at the beginning about the emotional, mental and physical load that can particularly come with being a woman. It's just the way it is that we're having to be mum and partner and spouse and sibling and parent and best friend and business owner. And there's all those external pressures that are telling us what we should and could and have to be doing. So we consistently put ourselves to the bottom of the list. And then we wonder why a week, a month, a year down the line, we're feeling exhausted and overwhelmed in every single way. And we can't run a successful business if we haven't prioritized our own well-being. I've learned the hard way, and that's why I don't want any other person to have to go through what I had to go through. You've got to find those nuggets of time every single day where you say there is a non-negotiable 5 or 50 minutes today where I'm going to focus on looking after myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially if you're a disabled business owner, we all know we push too hard because we think we have to have the same mentality as an able-bodied business owner. It's like, it's all go, you've got to go. No, if you don't rest and look after yourself, you're going to hit that wall. And that's going to take you out far longer than taking a break now.
Absolutely. And we had a great discussion, I think, in the last Disabled Entrepreneurs Network session where we kind of said, you know, it's okay to say to a client, I just need you to be aware that I can have challenges with my energy levels. I have to look after myself first. And I will always work really hard for you. But sometimes that's going to mean working smarter rather than longer. And these are the hours that I'm available to you. And these are the things that I can do in the deadlines that I have. And I need you to respect that. And if a client can't respect that you're prioritizing yourself, then maybe they're not the right client to be working with. And again, that's something that's taken me a while to get around. Probably my best and most loyal client in my business so far is one who, when she rings me for a catch-up to talk about our next set of wellbeing webinars, her first question is, how's your health, Tracy? How are you doing? What's going on for you? What deadlines can you work to? These are some of my ideas. How's that going to fit with how you are? And I would love every single one of my client relationships to work like that.
So would I. I mean, I'm very open and honest with my clients of that I am disabled, I'm chronically ill. And yeah, sometimes there are times I cannot work. But I will meet your deadlines to the best of my ability because I always try and keep ahead of them. Because that's just what you have to do, just in case. And I will let them know if there's a problem and I'm out of action. And all my clients who are still clients have always been very understanding. And you know, they've told me off for working late and told me to get a rest. Those are the kind of people you want to work with because they may not fully understand, but they get that you need to look after you. And those are good people and therefore good people to work with.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
Fabulous. Right. So you've told us about your business. So where can people find you and find out more?
Okay, so I've had to write this down because my MS and my menopausal brain, when you put those two things together, it makes my memory utterly shocking. So also bear with me because, as you've probably gathered, me and social media and technology are not the best of friends. So as my social media is growing, fingers crossed, with time and patience, I'm on Instagram. You'll find me at Tracy Lotus Bridge. I've got a Facebook page, which is simply called Lotus Bridge, that you can join. And then on LinkedIn, I am Tracy Jones Lotus Bridge. So hopefully relatively easy to find me. I have a website, which is lotusbridge.co.uk. I think that's probably everything, is it, Jo?
It should be. I'm sure if they can't find from that lot, they're not working hard enough.
My teenage son is desperate for me to have a YouTube channel and get on TikTok, but I've tried to remind him, your brain is 15, mine's nearly 50. It's going to take me some time. Let's just start with where we are, and eventually maybe you'll see me on some other channels as well. Watch this. Well,
that sounds like he's volunteering to run it for you.
I hope so. Do you know what? At 15, he's pretty special. I know that kids are growing up to have much more technical brains than maybe we had in our generation. But he'll put on a post about him catching a pike going on a fishing trip, and he'll get 20,000 views.
I'm jealous. So
he's getting something right. There's got to be something I can learn from him.
I have a YouTube channel and I have a TikTok. I don't get views like that. But then my subject's not quite as fun. So
is fishing fun?
Some people, not me. Yeah. It's a bit weird to me. But
it's self-care for him, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, so long as he enjoys it, it's all good. Right, fabulous. And obviously you can find more information about the Business Success Network, all its communities, any events we've got coming up, and the podcasts and blogs at businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. Go join those. And if you'd like, you are a disabled entrepreneur, or you are someone who supports that community, head over to Facebook and look for the Business Success Network for Disabled Entrepreneurs and come and join us. It's a very vibrant, very supportive group, and you might struggle to keep up with it, but we would welcome you coming to join us. Tracy, absolutely thank you. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. And thank you, everybody, for listening or watching if you're on YouTube.
Thank you so much, Jo. Can I just say, this was my first ever invitation to a podcast. So, yeah, a new day and something new to experience. So thank you for giving me the opportunity, Jo. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And please join Jo's group, because it's phenomenal. I've never joined anything like it, and it is super supportive. Lots going on in there and lots to learn.
Fabulous. Thank you very much. And you did very well on your very first podcast. Congratulations. So thank you, everybody. We'll see you in the final episode of this series.
So, you've been listening to the Business Success Network podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Please do go and check out all the other episodes that we offer. We've got a great range of guests that have gone before us and that are coming up. And if you want to get involved in the Business Success Network, you can find us at www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. There's loads of ways you can get involved, whether that's from contributing to our business magazine, or whether that's getting involved in the podcast. We are here to showcase your expertise and help you to grow you and grow your business.